week's episode of the That's So Cincinnati podcast. I'm Burl Love, editor of the Cincinnati Enquirer and your host. And this is a special edition of the That's So Cincinnati podcast, the post-primary election in the state of Ohio recap. So with me, the rock stars of political journalism in Greater Cincinnati, Carl Weiser. I almost called you Weezer just for a joke, but that's too inside. Carl Weiser, our politics editor. You edit lots of other topics, but for today, we'll just focus on politics. Aaron Glenn, who covers like everything else that's not happening in the city. So Hamilton County politics, government. And then Scott Wortman, who I think you're wrapping up, what, at least a year in the hot seat covering City Hall.
Yes, it would have been. Actually, I think it is exactly a year. I think it was May last year.
Well, so. Happy anniversary. Yeah, we should have got you.
I didn't think of that till now. Wow.
We should have got you a cake or something.
What a year.
Still time.
What a year. So Ohio had its primary, and in Hamilton County, we had I would say, more contested than anyone thought election for the Democratic Party County Commission, and we had a change. There's going to be a change, at least who's on the ticket for the Democrats. Aaron, fill us in.
Yeah, Cincinnati City Councilmember Mika Owens got 51% of the vote, so she beat incumbent Hamilton County Commission President Stephanie Summero Dumas, and Mika Owens will be the Democratic pick and likely our next commissioner. I don't think we've had a Republican County Commissioner since 2018.
Yeah, that would have been when Stephanie Dumas beat Chris Monzale. Yeah,
it was 18 or 19.
It was, 2018.
Yeah. And that was a surprise.
Yes.
Let's go back. Let's go back in time to the Wayback Machine. I think it was such a surprise that Monzale didn't even really wage much of a campaign. He kind of thought it was the Democrats have to run somebody. Stephanie Dumas was not well known, except for like in Forest Park, where I believe she was city manager?
Mayor.
Mayor. Okay, she was the mayor of Forest Park.
She had a big network of among the black churches.
Yes.
So that helped her. That helped her win.
So all of a sudden, there she is, county commission, won re-election, and faced what I thought from the outset was an unlikely challenge from within the party, from Mika Owens, who really had just been elected for her, second term as Cincinnati City Council?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they were all pretty new on City Council, relatively.
Yeah. So were you guys surprised, Scott, Aaron, that Mika so soon decided she had higher aspirations?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a surprise that, I mean, any time that there's an intra-party challenge, that always raises eyebrows because, they're supposed to be on the same team. So it shows, that there is some dissension. But yeah, it was kind of surprising that she would so soon jump from the city to the county, or want to jump from the city to the county.
And when I asked Mika why she was running, she said she wanted to address issues like affordable housing, which seems like what's in the scope of her as a city council member. But she also said that she wanted to improve. She thought that the county and the city could work better together than they do now.
I think that's an understatement.
in retrospect, I wonder if that race wasn't won back in January when Aaron covered the Democratic endorsement meeting and Mika Owens convinced the Democratic Party not to endorse in that race, because that blue Democratic slate is magic in Hamilton County and in the city. And because there was no endorsement, it really left voters up to make their own call.
And there was a lot of hand-wringing about whether or not they were going to endorse in that primary. I think at least 15 people stood up to speak and give their thoughts on it. Some of the more progressive wing of the Hamilton County Democratic Party want a kind of blanket ban on making endorsements in primaries. But party chair Alex Linzer has said he doesn't think that that's a good idea.
It was a really hard race to read as well, because the chatter that you saw in the online and in the political echo chamber, I saw a lot of people like, I'm voting for Dumas. And, so it was really tough to gauge who had the the advantage.
Even when I went out to talk to voters at the polls yesterday, I spoke to two people who voted for Dumas and two people who voted for Owens. It was hard to tell.
You know, fun fact about Mika I learned from your primer was that she was a pageant queen, right?
Yeah, she was Miss Black Teen Cincinnati.
And this is way inside Inquirer. Our IT guy extraordinaire. Yes. Was her, I think, karate coach or taekwondo coach or something like that. Yeah.
Well,
yeah, because in her city council bio, it says that in the pageant, her talent was to do a martial arts routine to the tune of I'm Every Woman, which I thought was fun.
Yes, our very own Kendrick.
Maybe he got her started on this whole
IT guy knows karate.
Yes. And the reason I found this out.
I'll be more careful on when I go in for computer issues.
I'm going to embellish this just a little bit, but she came in to be on this podcast. And Kendrick saw her and she saw Kendrick and it was like, you know, they reunited kind of like, oh, sensei and a bow and everything like that. And I was like, what? Master Kendrick? Who knew? But anyway.
That would be disorienting to see that.
Yeah, worlds colliding kind of thing. So one of the things that so I should have stuck to my like my first gut reaction when I saw this was I thought, OK, this is Mika's to win right now. I've always thought that Stephanie was an unusual pick for commission. David Niven, in a column that Kevin Aldridge wrote today, called her the accidental candidate. And then, you know, there was that whole kerfuffle with her chief of staff in the beginning, Sohi.
Paul Sohi.
Yeah, Sohi, who, like, filed a harassment claim.
Against Todd Portoon, who was adored in the political crowd, easily won re-election, was dealing with health issues, died like a year or two later. And he filed a discrimination complaint, which really perplexed everyone at the county building. Like, what is going on here? And then he either resigned or she fired him. I can't remember within a year. But yeah, it her first year on commission was really rough.
Very rough, you know, not polished, lots of unforced errors. And then I think relationships were a little bit chilly among the commissioners.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the dynamics. A lot of meetings that I covered, it was Dumas against Alicia Reese. They kind of butted heads. They didn't vote. Like, it's usually a formality. They rotate who's the president of the commission is every 2 years, and they wouldn't vote for each other as commission president several go around. So it was, yeah, it was
very
tense
petty
sometimes. Yeah.
Well, and Dumas used that as kind of a campaign push where she said she was the swing vote on the commission between Driehaus and Reese, and that's why people should support her.
Which is why I thought maybe, even though my gut reaction was this is going to be all Mika all day, because she's almost like the opposite of Stephanie when it comes to like organization, her political savvy, very polished, you know. But because she's a swing vote and because a lot of the air quote power brokers in Cincinnati know that, I thought that there would be kind of this quiet support for Stephanie that she would just squeak out a win.
Well, she got financial support from Jeff Birding, the CEO of FC Cincinnati, and the two law firms that were tapped by the county to handle the stadium contracts.
And she did seem to learn the ropes after the first year, where I wouldn't necessarily would describe her as polished, but she did seem to learn from the mistakes of her first year and was more diplomatic, I guess, on issues and with her fellow commissioners, even when she was in conflict with like Alicia Reese. But she did seem to find her footing a little later.
Well, that investment didn't pay off. So what's next for Cincinnati City Council? Because clearly, you know, unless dogs and cats, you know, start living together and things like that, the apocalypse, we will have another Democratic commissioner, and that's mm-hmm. going to be Mika. So there's a vacancy on city council right there we can count on. Seth Walsh has his eyes for state treasurer. And what's that say about city council right now?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of turnover. We've seen, I haven't counted up all the vacancies over the last like 5 years, but it's been a lot with, you know, resignations, you had indictments. I don't know what it says for city council. I mean, I'm not justifying it or anything, but I mean, it is the pay is 60 grand a year. So for commissioner, that's a double. It's 121 now.
They got 115 last year.
115. So it's if Mika gets on commission, she's about doubling her salary. So, I mean, a lot of the council members have other part-time gigs and things like that. So it's not a high-paying job. But, I mean, you also get into it for, like, you know, the name recognition and the status of prestige of being on council or whatever that's worth. I don't know.
Not as much as it used to be, apparently.
No, it doesn't. I mean, yeah, their opinions are varied. But we've seen the process, which is basically, it's kind of, it's a relatively simple process for replacing council members. Each council member designates at least one. Sometimes it's two. It can be as many as they want. Other council members as a designee, and those council members can choose the replacement to fill out the remainder of the 2-year term. So this would be for whoever Mika has chosen, Evan Nolan and Seth Walsh. So one of them or both of them will, it's up to them. They will choose who replaces her in the next year to fill out the remainder of the term.
All right. Well, let's move on to governor. We got Vivek expected to win one. So now it's official. We have an Amy Acton and our very own David Pepper, lieutenant governor, this other half of the ticket, former Cincinnati City Council member, author.
Commissioner, Hamilton County Commissioner.
Hamilton County Commissioner. So we have officially set up the Ramaswamy Acton vote in November. Any surprises? Did we learn anything last night, especially in the Ramaswamy election?
No, he coasted to election. Some people thought it might be closer, but I think he ended up with, 82%? I mean, it was not close at all. So there were a couple minor Republican challengers who thought he was not MAGA enough or Republican enough, or in some forums, Christian enough. Aaron was at a town hall he held here on – was it just Friday?
Yeah,
Friday. And he got asked about his Christianity.
Yeah, one participant stood up and said, you know, I follow Jesus Christ, you don't. How would you convince someone like me to vote for you? And Ramaswamy talked about, you know, having shared values, and also asked this town hall participant if he could name the Ten Commandments. That guy got through about five, and then Ramaswamy said, let me help you out, and rattled off all ten, and then gave credit to his St. X education. So,
well, that was brilliant. Way to shut that argument down. So a week or so ago, there were rumors, especially in Columbus, circulating that there was some backdoor maneuvering to get him off the ticket, that he was, like you mentioned, Carl, either too Trumpy or not Trumpy enough, or fears that at the end of the day, you know, white rural voters in Ohio would just not take that leap of faith to vote for someone named Vivek Ramaswamy. That seems to be unsubstantiated and now not even a factor, yeah, I would say.
He had the
strong
only
showing.
Yeah, he had the only thing that matters in a Republican primary, and that is Trump's endorsement.
And money.
And money. His own money as well as other money.
Yeah, he loaned himself. He loaned the campaign, what? $10 million, something like that.
$25 million, I thought, wasn't it?
Millions of dollars.
Yes.
Yeah, it's monopoly money to folks like us. I mean,
he's got enough money to be listed on those Forbes lists, so yeah, he can afford it.
All right, and then we did have a congressional choice people had to make yesterday. We were watching Greg Landsman. He had a primary challenger, which turned out to be a big fat nothing.
Yes. A lot of the people I talked to at the polls yesterday said, I'm familiar with what Landsman does, and I don't know so much about that other guy. And I was like, oh, okay, incumbency.
Couldn't even name him.
Yeah.
It is Damon Lynch IV for
the record.
Right. And someone that would have, you know, through family, through his father and grandfather, high name recognition. A little bit of controversy erupted in the weeks leading up to the campaign because Lynch posted a website that took Landsman to task for his support of the war in Iran. So,
yes. And also turned out that Lynch had voted for Trump
in 2016. Also, Lynch had a disorderly conduct charge that he told me he couldn't remember what that was about. So there were a couple little controversies.
Who of us don't have
that? Can't keep track of all of the disorderly conduct.
And so Greg will be facing who in November?
Eric Conroy, who is a former CIA officer and Air Force officer. He got Trump's endorsement, which is Carl noted is the most important thing in a Republican primary. And he also has the backing of, you know, the RNC and everybody.
And the district is redrawn to be more friendly to Republicans.
Yes. I think this race and the 9th district, which is Marcy Kaptur's seat, are going to be the two most interesting in Ohio. And two of the most, like, closely watched races in the country for the House.
All eyes on the 1st congressional district of Ohio. So that'll be good.
Well, that means you're going to be seeing a lot of TV ads.
Hopefully a lot of Cincinnati.com ads, too. I mean, I saw an independent study saying that Cincinnati.com was by far and away in trust and in engagement, the number one news destination in the market.
Woo-hoo.
So, yes, hats off to you guys.
Study.
Yes, we'll take it. We will take it. So, all right. Now, elections always have some odd, interesting things that don't really present themselves until you see the votes coming in and see how things go. Scott, you had a very interesting story.
When don't I?
That is true. Let's talk about some of the more interesting, not that these weren't interesting, but the off the beaten path type of stuff from last night.
Well, just like the Olympics, every 2 years there's a Warren Davidson, Vanessa Enoch race. Vanessa Enoch is a Democrat, lives in Westchester, and for the last five election cycles since 2018, she's challenged Warren Davidson, and this year's no different. We get another rematch of Warren Davidson and Vanessa Enoch in the 8th congressional district, which stretches from the Ohio River in western Hamilton County, just west of Cincinnati, up through the farmlands to Dark County. But she's never done better than 37%. I mean, it's not been close because it's a very Trumpy, very heavily Republican district. She comes back every 2 years and challenges him. And she says that she's learned a lot in the last 9 years or 8 years, 9 years since she first ran. And she said that she's going to have a new strategy. She wouldn't tell me what it is because it wouldn't be a strategy then. But she said that she felt like even though she hasn't won, she's out there talking to voters and is growing the Democratic Party in these areas. So, The voters there will get a little bit of deja vu, but she plans on continuing to try.
All right. What about you, Carl?
Unusual race.
Anything that caught your attention last night?
Well, there are a couple things. One is, and this is expanding beyond Greater Cincinnati a little bit, or the city of Cincinnati, is the Indiana results.
Yes.
Where Trump took revenge on some of these state House Republicans who didn't back his redistricting. And the reason that's important to us is because of what it might foretell for Thomas Massey, who represents Northern Kentucky, just across the Ohio River there. And he is facing his own primary in 2 weeks against a Trump-backed opponent, Ed Gallrein. And Trump has come to Massey's district to take his revenge on Massey because Massey has fought against Trump on everything from the Epstein files to government spending to the Iran war. So if I'm Thomas Massey, I'm probably waking up – adjusting my collar a little bit, getting a little worried. I think it was 5 out of the 7, right?
Yeah.
5 out of the 7 Renegades got beat in their primaries. The other Republican primary that was interesting was a Butler County Commission primary that was covered by our Victoria Morwood, who covers our 3 suburban counties. And that was unusual in that this incumbent commissioner who had been on there for 8 years, the entire party turned on her. The sheriff called her loony. the party backed her opponent. She ended up getting walloped. And like the Hamilton County Commission race, that was they found a much younger candidate to run against her, and he touted his, quote, youthful edge. So,
okay. And of course, we can't wrap up our political recap without talking about the Senate race that is now crystal clear, as if it wasn't before, John Husted versus Sherrod Brown. That primary, I think, was not watched. Sherrod was expected to win. They're already campaigning against each other. Yeah. I saw some Sherrod Brown, and this is a little bit of a zig when others are zagging. Rarely do you see candidates come and say, hey, we're behind in the polls. They want to show position of strength. They do their own polling. They do their own analysis of polling. But Brown has said, hey, I'm behind and I need your money. And that was before the vote yesterday. So what do you think? What do you think the chances are that Brown can beat Husted in November?
I mean, it's very tough sledding statewide for Democrats because, I mean, no matter what the different factors are, like in every election, it's the same thing with like Republicans countywide in Hamilton County. Doesn't matter what the circumstances are. I mean, the statewide, the rural areas are always going to be heavily Republican and Trump. And it's really tough no matter what for Democrats to overcome, no matter what the circumstances are.
Yeah. And as we've seen in a couple races, I don't know if it's trend. Voters are looking, I think, for a new generation, younger people. And Sherrod Brown is someone who has been in office for decades and decades. John Husted has been in office for decades as well. He's held a number of statewide offices. So both these guys are extremely familiar to Ohio voters. So there's no there's not going to be, you know, none of them are going to surprise the voters. So it's you know, obviously it's a better Democratic year than some previous years. But as Scott mentioned, you know, we're about a +8 Republican state lately. So that's a lot of ground to make up.
I mean, I've covered so many elections in either heavily Democrat or heavily Republican areas, and heavily Democrat areas vote Democrat and heavily Republican areas vote Republican. And that's about all there is to it.
And it doesn't appear that either one has much to work with. Like, you know, everybody knows Sherrod Brown, lovable, frumpy Sherrod Brown, kind of guy that sends handwritten notes still. Like when he was in the Senate, it would be common for him to send me a little handwritten note about something he read in the Enquirer. Never that from Husted, by the way. Husted is probably not the write a handwritten note to people kind of guy, at least not to me. But there's no like smoking gun scandals. I mean, they're both sort of like, you know, Husted survived the, you know, all the scandals going on with
First Energy
and, you know, was safely distanced from Larry Householder and things like that. So I don't see any, you know, major like plot twist in this race.
Well, as you said, I mean, they've both been in office for a while, and Sherrod Brown for decades. I mean, what's there is already there out. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you guys for this political recap. We have, you know, the ballot now is official of what voters will see in November. And I know you guys will be, you know, the best source to get this information and make an informed vote. Any final thoughts before we shift to the fun part of the podcast?
Oh, I'll just say as a tidbit, it turns out an Afro Man endorsement does not secure you an election.
Believe me. Yes, yes. So give us the quick background on the Afro Man endorsement.
Afro Man endorsed criminal defense attorney Bill Gallagher, who is running against the incumbent Hamilton County Court of Common Pleas judge Chris Wagner, but Wagner won pretty easily in that race.
Well, this doesn't bode well for if Afroman decides to run for president again.
He's got the outfit.
It did lead to one of my favorite requests in the newsroom when you asked if anyone had Afroman's number.
And Victoria did.
Yes. Victoria did.
We are well sourced. All right. Well, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right, so as we are wont to do at the end of this podcast, to make sure that it lives up to its name, it's time to chat about things that are so Cincinnati. And since you guys haven't been in here for a while, I thought I would ask you, have you observed, participated, done something that just screams Cincinnati?
I went to the Asian Food Fest, two weekends ago?
Yeah.
And had a great time. It was super crowded, like more crowded than Taste is usually. I think maybe because it's all on Court Street. But I just wanted to shout out the Korean fried corn dog because it was transcendent.
The what?
Korean fried corn dog.
The Korean fried corn dog.
That does sound good.
My kid likes those. You can get them at Costco sometimes.
Ooh, that's good to know.
Yeah, but I'm sure they're much better at the Asian Food Fest.
Well, and in line, I ran into our trending news reporter, Hadiza. So that felt like a very Cincinnati moment.
Yeah. I mean, you can't like, that's the nice thing about our town, you know? It's a big city, but very friendly. You run into friends, people you know all the time. Sometimes that can be a bad thing.
Yeah, but with the newsroom people, I'm always happy to see
that. That is good. Now, Carl. Give us, there's an important update that you had from the world of Ultimate Players.
Yeah, so one of our bigger non-election stories this week was from Patricia Gallagher Newberry about a plan by the organizer of the Bunbury and Midpoint music festivals, Bill Donabedian, to try to bring back what he's calling Funbury, a music festival, at a park in Anderson Township called Clear Creek Park. Well, for those who don't know, one of my hobbies is playing a sport called Ultimate Frisbee, which some of you may know as frisbee football. And we have, turns out my personal life intersected with the story because we have summer league at Clear Creek Park every summer. So there are hundreds of players playing ultimate frisbee out at Clear Creek Park. There's also pickleball courts, which is another one of my hobbies out there. So,
well, hopefully they get the schedules together, Carl, because I wouldn't want to see you, you know, on the other side of, of our news coverage leading some big protest against Funbury. And I got to say, it is so Cincinnati that Bill Donabedian is staging a music festival.
Yes.
I feel like it's the aughts all over again, because Midpoint was quite popular and was kind of part of the Over the Rhine Renaissance. You know, it was a music festival that brought people down to a lot of those venues. Now we just take it for granted that people go down and hang out in OTR, but that was one of the events. And then came the Bunbury Festival. And then I think Bill left town, right? Does anyone know?
I can't remember. And I do actually remember writing something. He stepped away, but I'm getting him confused because he also collaborated with Dan McCabe, who moved out to Indiana to also run music venues out there. So I can't. Something to that
and
effect.
And when 3CDC got into the event management business, mm-hmm. you know, when they were founded, they were all about renewal of the urban core, you know, a development corporation, nonprofit set up by, you know, various interests in Cincinnati. But they determined that to, for their mission to succeed, they had to have reasons for people to come downtown. And so they started their own kind of events management arm of 3CDC. So they program events at the square and, you know, other things in town that they manage. And I think Bill was like one of the first people that started, you know,
they
running events for.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's pretty Cincinnati, having Bill Donabedian doing a music festival. It's like a throwback. All right. Well, Scott, you are the ultimate Cincinnati, and there had to be something.
Oh my God.
When you wake up in the morning, it's so Cincinnati.
I mean, yeah, it's just pretty much anywhere I go. Well, if you had asked me this next week, I'm going to my first Reds game next Wednesday of the year.
Not ever,
for the year. And true to form, they've started to play terrible just as I go.
It's a long season.
It is a very long season.
Just a little blip.
But I'm complaining about it, so that's also very Cincinnati.
You know, we can't enjoy the fact that they were in first place, you know. Now, yeah.
But I've also, since it's spring now, I go at least once a week to Mr. Jean's Hot Dog Stand in South Cummingsville, which is amazing. Those are the best cheese conies in the city. That's a hot
Whoa.
Tip right there. I said it. I went there.
All right.
It's like a field trip.
Yeah.
It's
excellent.
Yeah. We might have to do a drop-in poll in the story that goes with this podcast about Scott's claim Mr. Jean's has the best cheese conies.
I have some strong thoughts on the matter.
All right.
I can give a whole ranking. And
okay. Well, are we ready to wrap this up?
Let's do it.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the That's So Cincinnati podcast, a production of The Enquirer and Cincinnati.com. Our producer today, the one, the only, Phil Didion.
If you enjoyed the podcast, please subscribe, give us a rating, and share it with a friend who loves all things Cincinnati.
And finally, if you value local journalism, and who doesn't, and haven't subscribed for full digital access to Cincinnati.com, now is a great time. Just go to Cincinnati.com and click on the subscribe button to see a special offer just for you. It's your turn, Scott.
That's not what it is. Especially for new.
That's me.
Yeah, you got it.
You got to keep this in, Phil. This is awesome.
Thanks again. See you next week.
Good job, Scott.
My computer went dead the first time, and then you went off script.
Do not edit that out. That's money right there.